the man of God's own choosing.
Just ask who that may be.
Christ Jesus, it is He.
Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same. And He must win the battle.
Listening to Morning Devotions. This is John Thrasher. How long has it been since you opened the hymnal and read the words to that great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, written by Martin Luther many long years ago in German and later translated into English? The words are terrific. You talk about something that is positive, absolute faith in God. In so many words, it says, let the devil do his worst. Let evil men and the forces of darkness come sweeping against me. God is my fortress and my refuge. We need to read things like that. And that's not just in this hymn. It is throughout the Bible. In passages like Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And one verse of scripture, one promise after another that declares how that God is our refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms. He is our fortress. He is our hiding place. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's what this majestic hymn says. God is my strength. Listen to the words of it. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power, great and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not His equal. Who is that ancient foe? The devil himself. And on earth, sure enough, there is not His equal. But the next stanza says, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing, were not the right man on our side. And man is with a capital M, and we know who that is. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing, dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth is His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. the prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. And what word is that? Is not my word, is not your word, but it is the word of God. As Jesus said to Satan as he was being tempted there in the wilderness, Satan, it is written, it is written. And he gave him scripture. It is written, one little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. I don't think there is any hymn in our hymnal more majestic and more positive and more filled with faith than that song. Maybe the melody of it is harder to sing than just little simple songs like Amazing Grace. But if you can't sing the melody, at least open the hymnal and read the words, because they are powerful and terrific. Many storms come sweeping against our lives, storms of all names and all categories, whether it be spiritual storms that blow against you, or financial pressures, or interpersonal relationships, or broken dreams, or great disappointments, whatever it is that is devastating and sweeps over you like a flood. If you are a Christian, and your hand is in God's hand, and your heart belongs to Him, you don't have anything to worry about. You don't have anything to be scared of. And if you are not a Christian, you can become one right now. In this precise moment, if you would open your heart to God and say, Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I acknowledge my sins, my wretchedness, that it was my sin that helped to nail Christ to the cross, and I repent of my sins. Oh God, have mercy on me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And if you will pray like that, simply and sincerely, before you're done praying, God will hear your heart cry. Christ Jesus the Lord will come into your heart. And even though there's much you don't understand about the Bible or theology or divinity, when the heart is broken and contrite before God as a little child, the Holy Spirit will teach you, and He'll open your eyes, illuminate your understanding, and bring you into His very living presence. Somebody can go to seminary and study theology, and if his heart is not right with God or have a desire for the Lord, in several years of theological training, he won't know more than that little person with a broken, contrite heart and spirit who just simply says, Lord Jesus, I don't understand what it's all about, but I believe that there is a God in heaven who sent his Son to die on Calvary's cross for me, and I acknowledge myself a sinner. Lord, save me. And suddenly your eyes will be open, your heart enlightened, and God will bring you into his very living presence. I believe that. I believe that is so because of Amazing Grace, because of God's love and his care for us. And we come as little children, not as the wise, but as little children we come and plead his grace and mercy. Let's do it right now.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he ever loved me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. Thou marvelous and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need.
And aren't you glad he did? He looked beyond your faults, my faults, and he saw my need. And Christ died for our sins. And as we put our trust in him, he will make something beautiful out of your life, because that's the very nature of God, to do such things. Ephesians 4, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And he had just told them to put off the old man. You know, that old man that we inherited from Adam, who fell there in the Garden of Eden, and sin and death passed on to the human race. Put off the old man with all of its carnal appetites and propensities toward evil. Put off the old man and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I like Schofield's notes on that verse. He says, the new man is the regenerate man as distinguished from the old man, and is a new man as having become a partaker of the divine nature and life, and in no sense the old man made over or improved. The new man is Christ formed in the Christian. And when Christ comes into the heart, I believe all this. I believe that we are to put off the old man, the Adamic flesh and nature, and that we are to put on Christ. That's what it means to be regenerated, to be born again, to be converted, to be saved. It means to put on Christ. And he gives us a new heart and puts a new spirit within us in fulfillment to Ezekiel's prophecy, where he said hundreds of years earlier, I will put a new spirit within you, and a new heart will I give you. In order for us to live a godly life, a holy life, a happy life, since we can't do it in ourselves, in our own carnal flesh and ourselves, God must give us a brand new heart and a new spirit. We must be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. A lot of people don't understand that, and a lot of politicians will use the term, will use it loosely and sometimes irreverently to be a born again something. But that's a very sacred term. To be born again means that the very breath of God is breathed into my dead soul, and I, being dead in sins, have been brought to life, quickened, resurrected. And that the Holy Spirit, through His regenerating power, creates something brand new in my sinner's heart. And that is brand new is Christ Himself, is Jesus in me. I sure don't understand all that, but I believe it. I don't understand how the Holy Ghost could overshadow Mary, and that holy thing that was born of Mary was Christ, the Son of God. I don't understand how that when a sinner humbles himself before God and cries out to the Lord in true repentance and true faith and believing, clinging only to the cross of Calvary, I don't understand how the power of the Holy Spirit can come and change that heart and make it so different. It's just like going from midnight to broad daylight, being translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear Son. It's just like someone being raised from the dead and brought to life. That's how powerful getting saved is. Regenerated, converted, whatever you want to call it. Having a new heart, becoming a Christian, being born again. And it's not my power, nor yours, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit who works efficaciously in the hearts of those who will surrender themselves to Him. Oh, let's do it. This very day, let's just surrender our hearts to God.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we are weak, You are strong. And You are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. You are El Shaddai, our fully dependable provider, so great and so faithful.
Lord of lords, I worship You. time and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy.
Cast all your care on Him, because He cares for you. This is more than a promise. It's a command. Be at rest, child of God. You've placed your burden at His feet, your request in His hands, and your faith in His word.
Can you say, praise the Lord? What a beautiful time we can share together in these moments of morning devotions. Genesis 8, verse 22, while the earth remaineth, listen to this, God's promise to us as He gave it to Noah and to us, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. I know people say one of the signs of the last days is you won't be able to tell summer from winter and everything will all be jumbled up. That's not true. That's not the word of God. There are signs of the last days, but that's not one of them. God has promised that there will always be the succession of the seasons. Winter will be followed by spring. There will be the seasons while the earth remaineth, and it testifies to the faithfulness of God, doesn't it? The finely tuned movements of the planets, the stars, the sun and moon, and as one of those stanzas of that great hymn just said, summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars and their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. You know what you can do? When you see winter give way to spring, and spring give way to summer, and summer give way to fall, and fall give way to winter, every single year of your life, when you see those things happening, and you see the stars in the same places where they have been for millions of years, and you see the planets, everything is so accurate that the astronomer can tell you when Jupiter is going to rise 1,000 years from now, and when Mars is going to appear, and what constellation you'll find them in, because the movements are so accurate and so finely tuned. When you see all those things happen, you can say, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. And you who guides the stars and the planets and bring the seasons of the year around regularly, consistently, every year, you are the same God who watches over me and keeps me, and I thank you.
Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Heaven came down and
glory filled my soul.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget.
Well, my time's gone. This is John Thresher. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. God bless you.
Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all my darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. Came down and glory filled my soul.